I'm Barbara Bray. Welcome to my Rethinking Learning podcast, where I have conversations with inspirational educators, thought leaders, and change agents. Well, I have a really special guest from Canada today, from Victoria, Trevor McKenzie. Thank you for being here.
Thank you, Barbara. So long overdue. Thanks for making the time in our busy schedules to collaborate here and get to know each other a bit more. So yeah, thanks for hosting.
Oh, I'm just really excited you're here. We've been trying to find a time and we finally did and it worked. So this is exciting. I'm just going to tell a little bit about you. Is that okay?
Absolutely. Go for it.
So Trevor is a high school teacher, an instructional coach, a speaker, and an author of 2 books.
Yeah.
Not just one.
2 books. Yeah. Not a one-hit wonder. 2 books.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm really excited. I have his Dive into Inquiry, and I love it. I've been sharing it. I share your graphics. I just think they're neat. And then when you told me you were doing another one, that was really cool. You reached out to me.
I sure did. You know, I thought it was such an honor for you to endorse the book and get an early copy of the draft. And I love the feedback. And as you know, that's such a scary process to reach out to people you admire and ask them to read something that hasn't gone through the editing process and hasn't been received by our readership yet. And you just hope that people love it. And so to hear your kind words and your feedback and get your support, I'm super thankful, Barbara. So yeah, thanks on that.
He also teaches at Oak Bay High School in Victoria, British Columbia, Canada. And I love Victoria. It's such a beautiful place.
It is a beautiful place. Great place to teach and work and raise a family and feel incredibly blessed to live here. Absolutely.
Well, tell us a little bit about you and your family and how you got there.
Yeah, great start. So as you said, I'm a Canadian. Yeah, born and raised in British Columbia, Canada. And moved to Victoria maybe almost 20 years ago and went to university here and met my lovely wife, Sarah. And we did some traveling. We moved around and taught in different countries for a bit, but we always knew Victoria was going to be our home. And we have 2 sons. We have an 8-year-old. He's in grade 3 and his name's Ewan. And we have a 5-year-old who's in kindergarten and his name's Gregor. And as you know, with kids, they're incredibly curious and really naturally kind of discovery-based learners. And so they really have helped me shape my understanding of what kind of teacher I want to be for my kids, but also my children, right? And so that's a little bit of a nutshell in terms of my family. Yet, like you said, I'm a high school English teacher at Oak Bay High School. I teach grades 9 through 12, and I do a lot of traveling, a lot of consulting, a lot of visiting really neat spaces and seeing what kind of innovative practice and inquiry-based learning is happening. And it's all kind of enriching my practice and coming back and benefiting my students.
Oh, I love it. Now, when I saw the name of your son, Ewan, I didn't pronounce it that way. So I'm glad you pronounced it like that.
Yeah. It's a uniquely spelled name, but it is Ewan and Gregor. They're both Scottish names. We have a Scottish lineage in our family and we wanted to honor our kind of our families and keep that alive in our son's names.
Oh, well, that is really cool because, you know, it's really neat when you talk to people in other parts of the world. And it's opening my mind that we do have to treasure who we are and where we came from. So I want to talk to you. You know, I always ask different questions, but I love this question. And what was it like for you to be a learner?
Oh, my goodness. In school, you mean, Barbara?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Well, you know, in school, I had a pretty up and down educational experience. And I think a lot of consultants and authors have a similar story. In fact, you know, a story of an experience that they didn't want to pass on to their own students or to their own children. And so I had a lot of you know, I guess you can say mediocre learning experiences, nothing really that stood out for me as a teenager. But there were a few amazing educators and coaches that really went out of their way to create some very memorable experiences. And whether or not that was a basketball tournament from my coaches or a long road trip in the bus sitting next to a coach, or whether or not that was a poetry unit that enlivened my passion for writing, there were a few teachers who really, really stood out for me and left their mark on me. And they're a big reason why I became a teacher, not just to, you know, live a life like they had lived as a passionate educator, but to pass on that energy to my students and hopefully leave an impact on them, a positive impact, one of lifelong learning and love for learning and paying it forward. You know, help one, help many is a motto I love to live by. And that was definitely something that a few of my teachers really left on me.
Oh, that's really good, because I've had some people say that they had terrible experiences. I had some pretty bad ones, and I told myself I would like to be the teacher that I would have wanted.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And so that's probably what happened with you when you got the good teachers. You're like, I can do that, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And there are a few teachers that stand out in memory. And you know what I've made a point of, Barbara, is going back and thanking those teachers, you know, finding them face to face and giving them a hug and letting them know just how much they meant to me. Because so often we don't see with our students the impact of our hard work and our determination and our passion as teachers, because all too often they leave and it doesn't resonate with them until later. And I think that's why inquiry is such a powerful pedagogy, because you really do have them immensely curious and connected in the moment. And the energy around the learning is just, it's palpable. And, but you know, absolutely going back and saying thank you to those teachers that left their mark on me, I think is really a powerful moment. And I hope that if there are learners or students out there that are listening to this podcast, do it. Reach out to those teachers who left their mark on you and say thank you, and tell them what you're doing in your life, so they could connect the dots between when they knew you in their classroom and where you are now in life.
Oh, Trevor, that is so beautiful. I mean, there's a whole thing I did on kindness. And wouldn't that be great if just kids could just recognize something good that happened, even to thank a peer?
Yeah, absolutely.
Just to reach out and say, that experience that I had with you really meant a lot to me.
Absolutely. We need more kindness in this world, don't we? And you know, how about making kindness our learning objective for our students tomorrow? How about walking in and having that be our outcome of whatever learning activity or lesson plan we have? Kindness is what we want. And how do we do that? How can we structure that or manufacture that kindness? And that's not to say kindness in a fake way, but I think we can create those moments where a love for learning occurs, kindness occurs, and empathy overall is the final product. And I think if we do that in our classroom, you know, the world of tomorrow is going to be a bright, full, meaningful day, isn't it? If we're creating students who love learning, who are kind people, and who are empathetic, man, the future is bright.
Wow. I wish I'm going to capture that, because I want to just, what you just said was just what I want to be able to carry on and share, because I think that idea of gratitude and thanking people for something that they did, people take things for granted. They take teachers for granted. Sometimes teachers take kids for granted. We need to kind of shake up the system a little bit and do just what you said. It was wonderful.
Thank you. And it's a perfect time to do so. Just how we're connecting here with our listeners through this podcast, and you and I finally connecting here. It's a magical time to be a teacher, to be able to learn from one another and to disrupt learning, to shake it up, as you said, and try doing something different and learn from one another and do something different for our students. Absolutely.
Huh. You said something really cool. It's a magical time to be an educator.
It is.
You became an English teacher and an instructional coach. It's now changing a little bit. Can you kind of explain your journey, and then why is it so magical now?
Yeah, well, I'm still a full-time teacher. I'm still full-time in the classroom. And so literally, you know, I was teaching until 3 o'clock today and came home. I live very close to my school, and then we were online at 3:15. So I'm still a full-time teacher, and it's changing in the sense that I do a lot more travel, a lot more writing, a lot more sharing on my blog and on my online space, trevormckenzie.com. And I think it's a magical time for a number of reasons. Number one, it's a magical time, just like I said earlier, is we can learn from one another in ways that we weren't able to learn from one another in the past. You know, we can connect globally with teachers and students that are doing really amazing, powerful things. And we could leverage those partnerships and those collaborations to impact the students in our room. So I think just how connected we are is a big piece of why it's a magical time. But I also believe it's a magical time because of the students in our rooms. I tell you, I think our students are probably the most creative generation of students in the history of education. And, you know, I'm not to say they're more artistic or they're more well-spoken. I mean, they are just building and creating and engineering and designing so much more than any other student in the history of schools. And when we have that potential in front of us, and if we can harness that potential and do some amazing things with it, yeah, I'd say it's a pretty darn magical time to be in education. Absolutely.
Well, I just did a post on magic, how to bring,
Really?
yeah, which is kind of cool. Yeah, I'll have to make sure you see that. But what I, not every teacher is like you. And not every, if we have kids in this generation who want to create, but we have teachers that are into the, they tend to teach the test or teach the standards, and we need to change some of those things. So I think you did a great job. And I'm holding up his first book, Dive Into Inquiry, because it really does amplify learning. And that's what you say, empower student voice. I love this book. It's just wonderful. So
thanks, Barbara. And thanks for mentioning that piece, sorry to interrupt there, but thanks for mentioning that piece about, some teachers teaching to the test or some teachers teaching to the standardized pieces of our curriculum. And I really try to push and encourage educators and colleagues to find the balance between the things we know we need to teach and we're asked to teach, and the things we know are good for our learners. And part of what's good for learners, it's exploring their curiosities and their questions and their interests and their passions. And I'm not saying throw the baby out with the bathwater in my philosophy around learning and education, but I do think we need to strike a balance. And as you mentioned, I think Dive Into Inquiry really hits that balance out of the park and allows teachers to see what that balance can look like day to day in their classroom. And then how do you adopt that balance and how to adopt structures and processes to honor student voice, but still hold dear to the things that we know are good for learning.
Well, I'm reading some of the testimonials that you have here in this book. And what's really nice is you have, first one is Richard Wells. I went to New Zealand and read his book, Learner's Paradise, before I went to go visit school. So what I love is how he, first thing he says is this book is important and that you did a powerful argument for inquiry learning. So, let's just talk about that. Why did you focus on inquiry?
Yeah, Barbara, great question. Inquiry for me really surfaced because of the needs of the students I was working with early in my career. I spent the first 7, 8, 9 years of my career working with really at-risk students, students who were facing challenges I think no students should have to face. And, attendance was irregular, kind of wellness was inconsistent. You'd have students who were having a tough time in school, dealing with anxieties, and didn't, for the most part, and this is a broad stroke, didn't have a lot of support in their learning from home. And so I would have students who would disappear from class for weeks, sometimes months on end, and your heart would hurt wondering where these students were. And they would kind of just drift back into class unexpectedly. And if you greeted them, and I say greeted them with air quotes, folks, if you greeted them with the work they had missed or an assignment that was outstanding or a test that they had to remake, they just would never return to class. And so I learned really quick with these students that they needed relevance. They needed to know why learning mattered. And beyond relevance, they needed relationship. They needed a connection of trust with the teacher in the room. And that, it wasn't going to be the assessment or the assignments that were going to drive learning. So for the first 7 or 8 years of my career, I was really honing and tinkering with these processes of how to honor the individual. And through that, there was a ton of research, a ton of experimentation, some of which I failed at miserably, which I think is powerful learning when you try things on for size and they don't work. But I came to an understanding of what inquiry truly is for me. And I think a fault of inquiry is that there are so many definitions of what inquiry is. I really wanted to demystify what it is and what it looks like for readers so they can take action and roll these really powerful pedagogies out in their classroom. And so that really has been the birth of inquiry for me. And through research and, like I said, experimentation, that's where I've gotten in my understanding of inquiry and Dive Into Inquiry and also inquiry mindset.
Well, the thing that went really big, because Sylvia Duckworth is a friend of mine too.
Awesome.
And has done her graphics. But it's this great graphic that is on this, in your book on the types of inquiry.
Yeah, the swimming pool graphic. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's really interesting how that seemed to really get a hold on, especially on Twitter.
Yeah,
crazy. So can you just, we don't have a picture in the podcast, but if you can just describe it, we can actually put the the graphic in the podcast, the blog that we put with
Fantastic. Yeah, the swimming pool graphic, the analogy is that we have several types of inquiry, from the shallow end of the pool, which is more teacher-directed and student-participant, to the deeper end of the swimming pool, which is more teacher-facilitated and student-directed and led. And so what we propose in the book, what I propose in the book, is that there needs to be a gradual shift of control over learning from the teacher to the student. And of course, the analogy says we don't want to throw our students into the deep end of the pool without the skills and understandings necessary to be successful in the deep end of the pool. And of course, the deep end of the pool is what we call free inquiry, where students choose their own topic, craft their own essential question, and essentially, they create their own inquiry unit of study. And although it's the most empowering and inspiring form of inquiry, if students aren't properly prepared for that, they could feel really overwhelmed and anxious, and it could lead to something not being successful. And so that's why we propose in the book this gradual shift from the teacher to the learner through the various types of inquiry, so students can really harness these skills and understandings to be successful with more agency over learning.
Well, it's been, you know, with my personalized learning that we did the stages, which is kind of the same idea, is, but they're not, when they're jumping in, they're not jumping into a deep end of a pool, but the same idea. We tell them that when they start in the shallow end or the beginning, it's like dipping your toes into personalized learning. So they're dipping their toes into inquiry.
Absolutely. And the teacher is really modeling inquiry. The teacher themselves are inquirers, and they want to model their thinking. They want to model how they're crafting essential questions and how they're designing their unit of study, because eventually the student will have more control over those various elements of powerful unit design. And we want them to be successful there. We want them to understand what their new role is, because for the most part, when students walk into this classroom, it's unlike anything they've experienced. They're expecting a more traditional experience of what learning is like. You know, I sit in the desk, I listen for 45 minutes, and maybe I take action for 15 minutes. We're flipping that structure on its head, and we're having them take on a much more active and meaningful role in their learning, and one that I think has incredible benefit, whether it's engagement alone or love for learning alone, which is enough for me to make a drastic change. If my students love learning, I'm all in for taking that on. But I've seen achievement increase, you know, test scores increase, you know, any rubric I bring into writing or oral language or speaking, all those scores go through the roof. And I firmly believe it's because students have this very different, exciting, and engaging role that they haven't experienced in a long time. And as you and I know, students enter their learning in kindergarten and grade one really excited about learning and all the questions they bring to class and they bring home to their parents. And somewhere between kindergarten, grade one, and high school, they lose that love for learning and that natural curiosity. And I argue it's still there somewhere inside them. And our job is to unsurface that, bring it back up, and have it be something that could lead awesome learning experiences. And that's where the second book comes into play. Inquiry Mindset really focuses on the K-7 classroom and honoring those student curiosities and questions that they have, so that we don't lose that powerful sense of curiosity at all throughout their learning experiences.
So I'm just going to read what you have in your new book, since you brought that up. You put in, Inquiry Mindset is about empowering our learners with the tools, the understanding and skills to make a difference in the world. That's big. So kids really want to make a difference, but they give up in school. They learn how to play the game of school and do school somewhere, like you said, between K and 7. And so can you give us some ideas on what, just a few of what you're talking about? Like if you're starting in kindergarten and then as you move along, because I want them to see your book. I read it, so I love it. But I want them to give them a teaser of some ideas.
A teaser, yeah. Well, I think, you know, my gut would tell me that what happens is that somewhere in their elementary school experience, things get a little bit too prescribed and too standardized. And those natural curiosities and interests and questions students have, they get kind of pushed to the wayside, and they're a little bit less frequently explored. And as we all know, the world of tomorrow is not a prescribed world. It's not standardized. The questions that we're facing around, you know, global economic change and political change, these are unexpected challenges. We cannot have our learners leave our systems being really good at following steps or following an order of operations. I need my students to know how to do that, But the world is so much more than that. They need to be able to answer questions that are authentic, that cannot just be Googled and solved in a quick search, that require unpacking and grappling with a variety of resources, looking at problems from different perspectives, and then working with a bunch of different people, interest groups, to solve these problems in an authentic way, and planning that course of action from, you know, topic through iteration to product. Those are the skills our students need for tomorrow. And we've always known them as educators. Those soft skills that we've always hoped we'd touch down on in education, now those are coming to the forefront. Those soft skills are the things that are on our target as teachers. And we have to take our students to that place so they can hone those soft skills so they can be better prepared for the world of tomorrow. So inquiry mindset is all about, first of all, having the teacher adopt the mindset as an inquirer and model that, but also fostering that mindset in our students so that they can solve the problem of, or solve the problems of tomorrow's world in today's classroom.
Yeah, and that what you brought up really made me think about what I just wrote, which was on about uncertainty. And the issue is really great if we can get kids to do this. But what is, I'm just curious, when you, you're an instructional coach, is that what you said?
Yeah, yeah.
How do you get teachers to be able to have kids be able to do that? What are some, you know, just an idea?
Yeah, you know, it doesn't happen overnight, Barbara. We kind of work at it from two ends of the spectrum. We kind of set big goals that we want to achieve 3-4 years down the road. You know, we dream of the class we want for our students, and that's not going to happen overnight. So we keep that big vision in mind, and we start to take small steps towards making that big vision a reality. And so some really small steps are obviously starting learning with a question, I think is probably the most powerful shift we can make in adopting inquiry in our practice. And at times that's definitely the teacher's question that shapes the learning experience in the unit of study. But students need to see how questions lead to learning. Rather than a resource or a textbook or a test or assignment, we have to start with a question. And that creates some uncertainty, doesn't it? When we start with a question right away, the outcome or the pathway, it's a little bit uncertain for both the students, not necessarily for the teacher, because of course the teacher has designed where we're going to go with that question. The uncertainty for the teacher comes when it's the student question that ties into the direction of the learning. And that's where these two books really lay some groundwork as to what the processes are that teachers can adopt when there is that start point of the student's question. So, and that's the balance I refer to. You know, if we need to teach to some prescribed curriculum or content, which I think is very important, we need to cover content, folks. I'm a big fan of content. I'm not a fan of content when content drives learning and it's the only thing that drives learning. So we do need to cover content. I think content allows us to go deeper in the learning. But I think what we need to do is figure out the balance between when our questions can take us to content as teachers and when student questions can be brought to that content, or exploring different authentic, you know, high interest content to the students. What's the balance between the two? And I think the processes outlined in both books really hit that out of the park for teachers and make it meaningful and accessible and actionable. I think the books scream action, don't they? They call for teachers to do something really clear in their practice tomorrow that is manageable, that they could take on.
Well, you make it personal because you bring in stories. So I love that too. And I feel like it's really important for teachers to know they're not alone. There are other people that went through the same process as they did or they plan on doing.
Yeah, yeah. You know, one piece I'm really proud of with Inquiry Mindset is at the end of at every chapter, we call on the reader to go take action and then share what it is, whether it's through a photo or through a video or just through a quote, to our Inquiry Mindset community. So there are a whole bunch of people out there around the world that are chewing on similar questions around personalizing learning. And so we want you in your reading to share to this community using the hashtag Inquiry Mindset. And what we'll see over the course of the coming months and years is that there's going to be this vibrant community of people sharing ideas and artifacts and resources so that we can go there at any time and impact our learning and change our teaching. It's really an exciting book.
Oh, well, I can't wait.
Neither can I.
I can't wait. We'll have to put a picture of it, put a link to it.
Absolutely.
And make sure. Yeah, I love this. And so, you know, this has been, you know, this has been wonderful. You're very, I can tell that this book was really fun for you to write.
Yeah, I'm an optimistic person, but I'm also a very passionate teacher. And I think our students need passionate teachers. They need teachers that walk into the classroom really excited to be there and really excited to try on meaningful things. If our listeners can take away one message, it's be passionate in what you do and great things will happen.
Oh, wait a minute. I got to write that one down real quick.
Love it. Love it, Barbara.
Well, we'll talk some more, when I'm hoping we get together sometime because I love being around people that are excited about what they do and share and write about it. And so you've done that.
Thank you. Amazing. And you know, when you meet someone face to face finally, Barbara, and you actually get to hug them and you feel like they're an old friend, that's you. You're that person. I can't wait to meet you face to face so I can give you a big squeeze and just say thank you. It's like we've been friends for a long time. So thank you for hosting me here. It's been a great chat.
Oh, Trevor, you've been wonderful. Well, when we do meet, we'll get a selfie.
Absolutely.
I always do that.
Yeah, so do I. So do I.
Oh, thank you so much. This has been really, really a pleasure.
Thank you, Barbara. Chat soon. Bye for now.
Thank you for listening to the Rethinking Learning Podcast and my conversation with Trevor McKenzie. We created a complimentary blog post about Trevor and his book, Inquiry Mindset, and there's loads of resources and links. So please subscribe to the podcast and leave a review on iTunes. You can also subscribe to my website, barbarabray.net, to receive announcements and updates so you don't miss any of the conversations.